going on with everybody talking and hugging and all that kind of stuff. Felt like family. It is family, isn't it? You know, it's family of God, and we call ourselves a church family, for that is what we are. And it's been a good week, a Thanksgiving weekend, very busy for all of us. So good morning. Through our recent series of messages, what we've been focused on is the Thessalonians and their lives and their testimony of their lives. And we've been looking at this. It's been a persevering hope and a faithfulness to honor God amidst some severe tribulations. We've looked at all that for weeks. I'm not going to do that today. We're not going to go into the Thessalonica there or 2 Thessalonians. But it just put on my heart, that's what we've been thinking about, perseverance or persevering hope. And so we've learned a lot about hope as we've been going through that. And then also today's Advent reading, where the first candle that we lit represented the hope coming, and then we would understand in the second coming more hope. We read some scriptures from Old Testament prophecies on that. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Luke 2:11. When I came to faith in Christ, I used to own a restaurant in Lindsay. I put this on the front every year. This is Luke 2:11, put it on the front. People would like, why that? And I said, well, I got your Santa Clauses and your snowmen over there, but that's what Christmas is about, where it says, for today in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. There's no greater hope for the world than that. There's no greater hope for our lives than that, for the Lord is our Savior. He is Christ the Lord of life. He's the Lord of everything. He's the sovereign authority over all of this. And then it being Thanksgiving weekend, so then I thought it would be beneficial for us as a church family to just really set our minds today from the Word of God on being thankful for salvation's hope. Something that we always want to do, but sometimes it gets missed in all the things going on, that we just, in our heart, don't have a gratefulness for the hope that we have in our salvation, or salvation's hope is what I called it. I'm sure most of you discussed and shared that this week. Of being thankful, talked about different things you're thankful for, what you're thankful for, all those kind of things. Very reflective time of year for many, if not all of us. Let's continue that today in our message this morning. So let's begin by turning your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians. I said we wouldn't be in 2 Thessalonians, look at persevering hope, but we're going to begin here at look at in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. And I have some things we're going to walk through in your outline there. They can just, as I share this with you, we're going to look throughout Scripture. We're going to start here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, and we're going to bounce around a little bit, so be ready. It's more of a Bible study maybe today. Then we'll look throughout the Scriptures as God's Word describes this salvation hope that we have. And my desire, as I was working on this, is that as we move through the Bible, that our hearts would well up with thankfulness for our salvation. That's my desire this morning as we look at God's Word in today's teaching of the Word of God, that our hearts would well up in a heart of gratitude. In your outline, I gave you 8 thoughts we'll look at briefly. It's going to be a brief message, briefly. Just let this flow in our heart and mind. I'm going to kind of touch the tops of these passages or these verses and grab them together. So collectively, the truth of God's Word will really minister to our hearts. To give you 8 thoughts that we'll look at briefly as we move along, they're going to be God is the source of hope, the essence of our hope. This hope is reasonable. This hope has been secured for us. This hope is confirmed in us by the Holy Spirit. This hope defends us. And our hope is the promise of glory, and our hope is a source of our joy. So 8 thoughts about hope to guide us through today's message this morning. First, we would say we have such a great hope, don't we? The world doesn't know about our hope. They don't see anything of that. They don't have any idea about the hope that we have in Christ. They haven't got a clue. And I didn't have a clue about it before I came to faith in Christ. Because you don't. You don't really understand it. You don't know God's truth. You don't understand His Word. You don't know what the hope that comes. Ray brought that up. It's not a hope that something will happen. It's a hope that God has promised that will be fulfilled one day. You just haven't received it yet, but it's determined by God in His providence to be true and will be true and will happen. It's a hope of God's promise fulfilled. So He has this great hope, don't we? And the front of your bulletin there says we're to be rejoicing in hope. That comes from Romans 12:12. So one of the main characteristics of the church is that they are to be rejoicing in hope. Through midst whatever we got going on, there's a rejoicing, there's a joy, there's a lifting up because of the hope that we have in Christ. A true hope that we have because of our salvation causes us to really be in a constant joy. That's the New Testament church. As you look at their lives, they had their struggles, their challenges, but the New Testament church rejoiced in the hope that they had. They had a lot of joy. That's what we're to have, the hope that we have, or even the word hope. When we say the word hope, immediately kind of brightens and lifts everything up, right? You think about it, hope. Hey, we got some hope, right? That kind of thing, right? But true hope really lifts up your heart, right? Really brightens the life when you know the true hope that we have in Christ, the true hope in God's promises. It produces a joy. There's a great hope in the Lord, and we have all hope. Life without hope is pretty bleak, isn't it? If you think about it, life with no hope, that's pretty bleak when you compare what we're looking at and talking about. 1 Corinthians 15:19, the Apostle Paul said, if in this life only you have hope, you are of all men most miserable. Now, in our faith in Christ and the new life we have in Christ and born again, regenerated, made new, reconciled back to the Lord in this life in God's providence, we have all this hope here, but we have a greater hope too, right? For the severest reality of misery is when your hope is only in this life. Like Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, in the lost world, when someone passes away, they grieve with no hope. They have no true hope on what's to come. Oh, they may have fantasy, but fantasy isn't true hope. We have reality, and so we grieve, not like the world does, that has no hope. We have all the hope. Really, if you think about it, it is really the severest misery to have no hope, isn't it? If you don't have anything to hope for beyond this life, that's really to be most miserable. This life is like a vapor that appears only for a little while, according to the Word of God, and then vanishes away, correct? I mean, everyone in the room, unless the Lord returns, is going to pass away. And ask any older person, and they'll look back and say, wow, it went really fast. Ask any parent that their children are now teenagers, they're going to say, what happened? It went really quick. If all your hope is tied to what only happens here, that's really to be most miserable. But that's how it is with most people in the world. Do you know that? They may have some sort of fantasy, some sort of fakeness, but they don't have a true hope, not from the God of the Bible, not from the God of creation. They don't have a true hope. They don't have a real hope. And so it's like that for most people in the world. People don't have a really true hope, really. In Ephesians 2, the Apostle Paul is describing the plight of lost humanity and says they have no hope being without God in the world. Sometimes that just takes your breath away, because I didn't deserve any hope. I didn't earn any hope. I didn't deserve any hope. And we live in a world that really are without hope with God in the world. If you don't have God, you have no hope. But for those that have the Lord's salvation, then that's what we're focusing on today, the hope of salvation. We have all hope now and forever, don't we? That's a good place for an amen. We have all hope now and forever. All hope. All of God's promises, all of God's truth. There's a joy about our lives because and a rejoicing in that hope because we are sure that there's more to come, aren't we? That whatever we walk through in this life, God's with us. Whatever happens in this life, God's purpose is his plan and purpose is through it all. We have all this hope that the world doesn't have. And so let's just focus today in our heart being grateful and thankful for our salvation's hope. And the Bible says a lot about hope. The first thing to note that's very important for us to note that our hope comes from God. It doesn't come from circumstances. It doesn't come from governments. It comes from God. He's the source of our hope, but it's a gift of grace. It's not something you could earn or deserve. Look at our text for this, we begin this morning. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Listen to the Apostle Paul. He writes, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort you and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. Never let it be said that we did anything to earn our eternal comfort or our hope. It's a gracious gift. Says it right there. It's grace. Let it never be said in your heart, my heart, and our heart that we did something to earn this hope, that we did something to deserve this hope. It says it right there that God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us, he loved us while we were yet sinners and at enmity with him. We all know that in Romans 5. And gave us a good hope. So God is the source of that gift, isn't he? So as we're thinking about salvation's hope and having a grateful heart, it's a gift of grace. It's from the Father. It's from God the Son. We'll look at how it's from the Spirit of God also. For it's God who gives us something, and he gives us everything to hope for, a good hope given by grace. There's where you start. God is the source of our hope. Secondly, as we move along here, where do we find the essence of hope? So this is what we're talking about. We read it today. Where do we find the information on the hope that we have? Where is it, you guys? It's in the Bible, right? It's in the Scripture, right? So he's the source of hope, right? He gave us good hope by his grace, right? A good hope, an eternal comfort. By his grace, he gave it to us in here, recognizing in 2 Thessalonians, so we would be strengthened and encouraged to live the life that God wants us to live. But it's by his grace, right? It's given by God, right? And the essence of it is going to, where the information about it, the hope we have, where do we learn from it? It's going to be in God's word. So it's going to be in the Bible. So turn your Bibles to Romans 15, verse 4. We read that in our Advent reading today. So if we're going to learn about this hope, the essence of this hope, what the promises of God are, they're going to be in the Scripture. They're not going to be somewhere else. They're not going to be on a placard or whatever. They're going to be in the Word of God, and it has to be the truth of God's Word. It has to be what God has actually said, what God meant by he said. So look at Romans 15 and 4. So that's the essence of our hope. Look what Paul says in Romans 15, 4. He says this, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction. So here he's referring to the Scriptures that people were familiar with at that time, the Old Testament. But certainly, we would all agree now, that would include all of God's revelation, including the New Testament, right? I mean, the greatest hope that we understand were the definitive things of the hope that we have in the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ isn't even in the Old Testament. It's not even talked about. It's just about Christ coming. But the second coming and all the church isn't in the Old Testament and what's going on. So obviously, Paul's writing this with the Old Testament in mind, but this applies to God's revelation. And so that would include the New Testament. So Paul says, listen to what he says in 15:4, and you can read it this way, for whatever was written for our instruction. Amen? It's God's word, and it's written for our instruction. And what for? What's it to instruct us? So that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. There you go. Our hope comes from God's grace, and we learn the essence of it, of that hope from God's word, the truth of God's word. That's where we find the information about our hope. It's as we know what the Scripture says, then we understand our hope. It's as we understand and know the meaning of the Word of God and what God has truly said is when we understand our hope. That's when we believe God for what God has promised. For God's Word tells us what God's Word has promised, and our hope is in believing God for what he has promised. Because our hope isn't what's seen, it's what's coming. It's the hope of what he's bringing or the plan and purpose in the midst of whatever's going on. It's the providence of God being brought out in our life. In Psalm 119, listen to the psalmist in verse 41. He says this, may your loving kindness also come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. Do you hear him waiting for the promise? Do you hear him believing in the hope that was coming his way? Here is a man who understood that what God said was true, and even in severe trials, according to God's word of salvation, complete salvation is his, loving kindness would come also. His hope is in what God's word has said, not what he's living in at the moment. Psalm 119, verse 81, the psalmist says this, I wait for your word. I will wait, God, until the time is right for you to deliver what you have promised me in hope. See, hope is waiting for the Lord. It's realized in your relationship with God, as God is working out the things of this world. Our hope is in the truth of God and what he has promised. Believe then that will come our way because God has promised it. The essence of our hope is the truth of God's word. Like Romans 8, 23 and 24 says, God promised the fulfillment of his adoption of us as sons and daughters, the redemption of our bodies. We wait eagerly for it, the fulfillment of that promise. It's our hope. It's our hope because it will happen. God told us it will happen. It's in his word. It's a promise that he will fulfill. That's what it is. It will happen. There's no doubt. When? That's up to the Lord. That's up to God. How? That's up to him also. But it's a promise of God. So then this salvation hope is a gift of God's grace. It's revealed through the scriptures. And this hope is reasonable. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter 3:15. It's reasonable, okay? It's not pie in the sky, okay? It's not fantasy land. It's a real hope that's reasonable. It's you can make an argument about it. You can throw the scriptures, you can show the gospel and the hope of the gospel and the hope of what God has planned and purposed in the salvation of Christ and what he's planned and purposed for the children of God. You know, it's reasonable to share with somebody. That they don't understand it or see it doesn't not make it reasonable. That makes them blind and cannot hear, and God has to pierce their heart. We don't change the truth of God so it's reasonable to a lost heart. We argue the truth of God and his word on the hope we have, and it's reasonable to argue. It's defendable to argue. If they don't believe it, that's God's thing. So it's reasonable, this hope that we have. 1 Peter 3, are you there with me? Peter's talking about that. Listen to the Apostle Peter. Listen to what he says. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. So you can see that you can defend your hope. That's what he's saying. Your hope is defendable. It's reasonable. It's not pie in the sky. You can tell people about it, for it's true. From Scripture, you can reasonably tell people, you can defend from the Word of God and the truth of God's Word that our hope is eternal life, that our hope is heaven. There is no other hope for heaven other than in Jesus Christ. It's reasonable. Well, I don't think it's reasonable. Don't all roads lead there? Everybody's got this sincerity and that they worship this and that and all that. And it's like, no, it's reasonable because God is the God of the Bible is to be worshipped in him and him alone. It's reasonable. That they don't think it's reasonable doesn't make it not defendable. Our hope is in heaven. Our hope is knowing that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. That's in the Word of God, right? That's defendable, isn't it? Well, yeah, but look at your life. You have hard things. There's been some tragedy and all this. That's not determined whether God loves me or not. That's how you determine what something loves you is not. But my hope isn't determined by the circumstances of my life that I have hope in God, hope in Christ. I can defend that. I can defend that from God's truth. That's what the world looks at, but Christ will never leave me or forsake me. Or all that I have, my hope that I have is God will glorify himself in my life, and I one day will share in the glory of Christ, plus so much more. It's a reasonable hope, isn't it? It's reasonable. And the world needs to know, and it needs to be defended and shared, why it's not pie in the sky, because it comes from God's word. God's word is true. And any faithful and honest study of Scripture will unload on an open-minded reader the truthfulness of God's word. We have all hope now and forever declared by God in his word. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:12 that having such a hope as we do, we speak boldly about the gospel of Christ. For our hope is reasonable. It's reality. So we have a hope that comes from God, a hope given by grace, a hope that is laid out in Scripture. Therefore, we have a hope that is objectively defendable. Let's add a few more. Turn your outline over. Our salvation hope promised us in Scripture has been secured for us. You might want to write guaranteed. It's been secured. It's been guaranteed. Nothing ever created, no principalities of power, no sin of you or sin of me, no mess-ups can ever change the guarantee of the promise that's been secured for us, our hope. How is it secured? Anybody want to take a guess? There you go. If you're in 1 Peter 3, turn to 1 Peter 1. Ray read this morning. Listen to this again, and Ray read that and pulled some really great truths out of that, but let me help you in just another important aspect of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Look at it with me. How was it secured? How was it guaranteed? By the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what Peter says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Was Jesus raised from the dead? He guaranteed your hope. That's a pretty good security. What do you guys think? What a great verse. We bless God because by his great mercy he caused us to be born again unto a living hope. That is a hope in this life. You have from God a living hope by mercy through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the securing of our hope, the securing of our eternal comfort, the securing of our living with the Lord and with God and with all other believers forever. Do you think about that? It's in Corinthians. Do you know that because Christ was raised, we will be raised? Right? Do you know our hope is that one day we will be with the Lord in heaven in this new creation, right? All of that, when rule and reign is on the earth. Let's not get into all that, but we will be, and we will be raised with each other. When we lose someone here now as a believer, we're going to see them later. I believe we're all 33 because that's when I felt best in my body. No, I've just guessed that. It's just a guess because Jesus went at 33, and I came to the Lord at 33, and I think that much of myself. That's my brother, by the way. My physical brother, my older brother. It's secured in Christ. I want to see something try to remove it. That'd be hilarious. Something think it's powerful enough to remove it from the risen Lord. The security, the guarantee of our hope. Romans 6, 3 and 4 says this, we died with him and we rose with him to walk in newness of life now and forever. At the moment of our salvation, we died with him and rose with him and to walk in the newness of life now and forever. It's secured by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This doesn't end the amazing treatment of the hope in the Bible. Turn your Bibles back to Romans 15 again. Let's just kind of keep moving along here. And like I said earlier, we're just capturing the tops of these truths, gathering in our minds collectively together to really well our heart up into having a grateful, thankful heart for salvation's hope. But we're turning back to Romans 15 again. Look at verse 13. And look what it says here. Now may the God of hope... Isn't that amazing? Now may the God of hope. Now, what do we call him? What's the most famous or the most used? He's the God of love, right? He's the God of love, right? That's what you use most. How many times do you call him the God of hope? I think we ought to start using it a whole lot more, don't you? Maybe that would help us defend the reasonableness of the hope that we have. Say, well, he's the God of hope, of all hope. He's the God of hope. He's the one. He's the resource of hope. He's the source of hope. He's the only place there's hope. He's the God of hope. He's the God of the Bible. He's the God of love. He's the God of faith, right? Let me encourage you to start using that more often. That he's the God of hope simply means the God of the Bible is the source of all hope, the God who has graciously given the hope. That hope to us and laid it out for us in Scripture and secured it by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Think about that. I want you to remember that. Have you ever met the God of hope? He's the God of the Bible. And he gives us all hope by grace. He's given to us. It's revealed in Scripture. And it's secured through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You put your faith in him and you have all hope. That's a good gospel message, isn't it? because he's the God of hope. And he sent his only begotten son. Do you see what I'm talking about? We use God of love, and then people turn love, and his love is that you give me everything that I want. People don't need love like they need hope. They need the hope of God, because they have no hope in this life. And they definitely have no hope in the life to come. Look at verse 13 again. He says this. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you hear what he said? This hope is confirmed in us by the Holy Spirit of God. Our hope is confirmed, energized in us by the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who stirs up the hopeful attitude in your heart in response to the promises of God's revealed, that God reveals in Scripture. It's the Holy Spirit working in your heart and mind, welling up to bringing to the surface the hope that you have in Christ. That's in the midst of everything that you have going on. That's in the midst of the trials and the struggles and the broken hearts and the physical ailments and the wayward children and a fallen nation and a country and the things you got going. The Holy Spirit is there. And, hey, you have all hope in Christ. These things are temporal. These things are what you have all hope in Christ. You have all hope in Christ. There's an eternal comfort. There's a good hope. There's the reality of God's word that has been promised. The Holy Spirit is bringing that up in our heart and mind. It's by the power of God, it says. This really engulfs all of redemptive purposes. If you think about it, doesn't it? It says God the Father gives the hope, grace gift. God the Son secures the hope. God the Holy Spirit confirms the hope. And we're to live in hope because we're his. We're to be encouraged. We have a living hope, a hope for real life. Three more and we'll finish this morning. This hope defends us. Turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8. It defends us. There's something we need to defend with the hope that we have. Now, let's face it, right? We live in a world, right, that's run by the prince of the power of the air, right? Satan himself, right? The accuser, right? We should all acknowledge that we're going to be attacked by the prince of the power of the air and the accuser of the world to doubt the hope that we have. I mean, we would be kind of not real smart, I don't want to use a bad word, to not acknowledge that that's what this world is trying to do to us and that's what the enemy wants to do. It does discourage you. He knows where we put our hope, and we have it in the wrong thing, and then he attacks us with that. He wants us to cause doubt, right? That's the whole thing in how our hope defends us. Verse 8 in 1 Thessalonians there, verse 5, discusses the Christian armor. It's the armament. It's an abbreviated treatment of the spiritual armor that's in Ephesians 6, so it's abbreviated. But it talks about our spiritual armor. And in verse 8, listen to what he says. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For all you football players, you know what a helmet does, right? Protects the head, right? Protects the brain, right? From getting it rattled, right? Concussions aren't good, right? This is what he's talking about. Protect the mind. Hope of salvation. Put it on. Wear it as a helmet. That's what he's talking about. We would all be good to acknowledge that the Satan himself, through the world system, is going to attack our minds. He attempts our flesh, and he tries to crush us with doubt to God's promises. That's what he does. He never relents. He always goes. He never stops. That's his game. That's his ploy. That's what he's doing. You are to wear, as a helmet, the hope of salvation to protect your mind, which is given to you in Scripture by grace, secured by the Lord Jesus Christ, and confirmed by the internal witness of the Holy Spirit in your life. And you still got to put it on. It's a thing. I'm going to wear the hope I have in Christ. I'm going to wear my salvation's hope. I'm going to put it on my head to protect my brain and my thoughts and those kind of things, because what God says is true and what the enemy says is a lie. He tempts my flesh. He tries to crush my hope to give me doubt. Salvation's hope as a helmet. Verse 9 and 10. Here's a good place to start to wear as a helmet. Look at verse 9 and 10, 1 Thessalonians 5. For God has not destined us for wrath. What is he destined us for? But for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. The God of creation, the God of the universe, has destined you for that. That's what it says. Amen, right? The enemy's going to say, no, but you stumbled, you tripped up, you got a bad attitude, you got this kind of thing. If you haven't put your trust and faith and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, submitted your life to him, surrendered your life to him, turned, repented of sin, went a different way, you haven't truly had saving faith, yes, the enemy can say, well, you're not saved. But the enemy comes against believers, and wear this as a helmet, for God has not destined us for wrath. You know the wrath he's talking about there? That's the tribulation wrath. We're not going to be here. But he's destined the world to go through it. The wrath of God. Nobody wants to be here and see that. Nobody wants even that to happen, but God's destined the world that has rejected him to go through wrath. But for us, for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, that's meaning whether we're awake, when the return of the Lord Jesus Christ comes, if I'm awake, that's good. I get to go be with him. But if I'm asleep, if I'm in the grave, he's going to raise me from the grave. I'm going to go and meet with him. We all know this from our teaching we've been learning about. And we will live together with him. That's eternal glory. We will. And we'll live together with every one of you. In your new body, in your new heavenly body, in the new earth that God has prepared and planned. That's our eternal destiny. Wow, the world doesn't know anything about that hope. They hope they get to heaven, get to play a harp, and that their goodness and that their kindness and that their whatever they lived in this life is weighed on a scale and God accept it. No, he won't. No, he won't. They have no hope. And God has us here to tell them about the hope. For it's reasonable. That's the hope that we have. We're to wear that as our helmet. So our hope defends us. And as you understand the glorification aspect of salvation, that leads to our next one. Our hope is the promise of glory. Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, sorry. Two more. Our hope is the promise of glory. It leads us right there. When we understand our glorification aspect of salvation that defends us, we wear it on our head. And now our hope is the promise of glory. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. Listen to the Apostle Paul. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. Again, he goes back to the scriptures. You know about this hope because it's in his word. You have the hope of heaven and all it contains and all it means. I can't cover all that now, but this is what he's saying. You know that. It's the truth of the gospel, which is revealed by God in his word. And you have this hope. Look at verse 23, the same chapter. If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast and not move away from the hope of the gospel. Well, those who have the hope of the gospel have faith in the gospel. You can't take away their faith. We've learned that. Their faith will not fail because it's in Christ, in union with Christ. Christ will not let it fail. And so you're going to faithfully continue on, established. You're not going to move away from the hope that you have in the gospel. You're going to realize the hope that you have one day. Look at verse 27, chapter 1. And here it is, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, that's me and you, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So he calls this hope of heaven, the hope of the gospel, the hope of glory, Christ in you. Listen to what he says in chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Turn there with me. For you have died. You've died to sin. You died to self. You died to serving self. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. Nobody can get that. There's no devil on the planet could ever even come close. There's no sin in your life. There's no worldly thing. There's nothing that could ever. My life is hidden with Christ in God. Come try to take it. There's no way. The devil is a liar. You can't take my hope. I'll sin, I'll fall short, I'll have to repent, I'll have to confess, but I got salvation. My life is with Christ, hidden with Christ in God. That's my hope, the good hope, eternal comfort hope. That's what all that it is. And listen to what he says. And when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, when he comes, when he's revealed on this world in the second coming of Christ, then you, I wrote my name in there, Ken, you will also be revealed with the Lord Jesus Christ in glory. Guaranteed, secured by the resurrection of Christ. Promised in the word of God, given to me by the grace of God, which I do not deserve. Do we have hope? It's incredible. It's absolutely overwhelmingly incredible that we have this hope of salvation and that it's defendable and reasonable and stirred in my heart and yours by the Holy Spirit and his work in our life. Our hope is the promise of Christ's glory being revealed in the second coming of Christ and us being revealed with him in glory. Our hope comes from God. It is a gift of grace explained to us in Scripture. It is defensible because Scripture is true. It is secured by the resurrection of Christ, confirmed in us by the work of the Holy Spirit. It is a hope that defends us against the blows of doubt from the enemy. It's a hope of the promised glorification where when the Lord Jesus Christ appears in the second coming, we will see him just like he is, and we will be just like him with our completed salvation and complete glorification. 1 John 3:2. That's my hope revealed in Scripture, that he gave at the moment of grace when he gifted it to me in my salvation. The same with you. This is salvation's hope. Final thought. So that salvation hope is being a source of our joy. We have great joy because of our hope. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 146:5. How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Write that down. Circle that in there. Read that. Psalm 146:5. We talked about it in Sunday school today. How happy. It's the Beatitudes. It's not their flesh is happy, but certain life in Christ happy. How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. We are so blessed that the Lord Jesus is our help from God. And Paul says many, many times, rejoice in the Lord always. I say rejoice. What great joy we have to know intimately the one who secured our hope. Like Paul said in Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7, therefore, as you have received Christ the Lord, so walk in him. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, in him, you could put that there, just as you were instructed by the Scripture, by the Word of God, and overflowing with gratitude. That's our life. We walk with him, with our life in union with him, the one who secured our hope, given by grace from God the Father, stirred up in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And we're overflowing with gratitude. Let's give thanks for God's salvation hope. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for just your word to us this morning and for what we've seen from the Scriptures as we kind of lightly went through them, Lord, and just the hope that we have and how it came to us. And Lord, help us in our heart. Just really receive the stirring of the Holy Spirit to stir up in our heart, right? Just the hope that we do have and to be confident and not let the enemy change it or give us doubt. But like Paul said, because having such a hope, we just boldly proclaim the reasonableness of the hope that we have. We would share it with others. Here's the hope that we have, the God of all hope. That we would share the true gospel of the hope that we have. that we have hope today in each and every circumstance today, that we have, because we know that God will be glorified in our life, whether it's through a hard thing or a difficult thing or a trying thing, because this is about God's glory, not about ours. It's about what he's doing in the world, not what we're getting out of the world. We understand that through the truth of the gospel. We understand that through the truth of scriptures. We desire in our lives, Lord, for you to work and bring the things into our life out of devastation or out of despair or to protect us from the hard things. But we know, Lord, in your providence, you're using them all for your glory, our good, because your word declares that, not because the world would see it and say it is. So let us share the reasonableness of our hope for you to use that true gospel to pierce the hearts of those around us, for them to accept the hope that's found in Jesus Christ. We thank you for this week and all the thanksgiving that we're able to give and spend with family and friends. And Lord, minister to those that this might be a hard time in life, a difficult time, loss of loved ones and difficult things that happen. Help us to be a church family that reaches out strongly and boldly to one another with a certain acknowledgement that we know it's challenging for others at this time of year. May the people in this world see the light of our hope that's not based upon the temporal, for salvation's glory. We thank you for today in Christ's name. Amen. We're dismissed for today.